720 WGN, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, in for John Williams. It is Dane here until 3 p.m. As we kind of prep and get ready and plan for what will be the last kind of shindig of 2017. And many people, if it's a testament that continues from Thanksgiving, they have 800 reservations for Thanksgiving. People want to celebrate those special and important times with River Roast, with Tony Montuano, and the one and only Chef John Hogan. He's on the line. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dane. Good to be with you today. How are you?
I'm sure you guys are, even though we're many days out, there's a lot of prep that goes into some of the things that you do. These celebrations, always fun. We always get a lot of great feedback. The food, the chicken, the music, you know, some of the unique experiences that you guys have there. But in quantity, I mean, you guys get a lot of people showing up for these.
Definitely. It's a hopping place, and New Year's is going to be no exception.
So let's talk a little bit about what is it. As a chef, and for the listeners, we mentioned it, the Tribune has voted him one of the top 10 chefs in Chicago. Fine dining with Everest, Kiki's Bistro. You guys got together. You dialed back a little bit of the fine dining side of it and made it a comfortable, approachable place that just got really great food. But as a guy who's been cooking in Chicago for a long time, what is unique from the chef side, you know, about New Year's Eve? You know, some people say, hey, that's amateur night. It's a night a lot of people out and about, but what's it been like over these years on New Year's?
Well, I think New Year's Eve is a great opportunity for restaurants to gather new clients. There's a lot of first timers going out. They're out to have a good time, spend some money, and if you give them a kind of a good visual of what you do all year long, hopefully you can get them to come back and enjoy the restaurant at different times of the year as well.
So when you think about what, as a guy who's been a chef your entire career, your entire life, we've talked about it. We had some of those really cool historic segments where you talked about Chicago in general. What has changed about Chicago on the New Year's Eve? We know the food scene has become great, almost legendary, right? You know, one of the top food towns in the world and recognized as such. But over the years, for New Year's Eve, you know, a holiday that everybody celebrates around the world, but specifically Chicago, how has it changed? Has it changed at all from when you were working it, you know, 25, 30 years ago?
Well, I remember back in the 80s where I worked up at the corner of Division and State at an old restaurant called Yvette. And at midnight, the place was up for grabs. People were out in the street dancing. We were waiting in the kitchen to feed the guests, and they're not in the restaurant. I think it's got changed a little bit over the years, and probably people go out and have a nice dinner and typically move on to parties or home at this point in their lives. We this year are trying to get people to come out, stay out, by adding the music element to our evening.
Yeah, because you see a couple different experiences. There's that hotel kind of experience where, you know, you're there at a, you know, someplace they're going to be there. It's maybe primarily drinking is the thing that you're looking to do. Then you've got the restaurant side of things where people are coming out early. They're going to do some nice restaurant stuff, then maybe enjoy the bulk of their late night of it back at home. And then, like you said, you're trying to bridge that gap and trying to have people come out for that nice dinner and then kind of have some reasons to stay out and enjoy what it is that you guys do, because you guys always do have that very cool, very Chicago entertainment side. So talk a little bit about the music, the live music, some of the best blues happening, certainly with a restaurant setting that you guys are doing at River Roast.
Yeah, I mean, we've started to really build on the reputation of the blues as part of a dining experience. And the musicians, more importantly than anybody, have really bought into it. I think they really enjoy playing in that setting. It's very personal. It's between them and the clientele, and certainly for brunch, it's a good way for them to get out and tune it up a little bit in the afternoon, and then they can go on and move into a setting in a club at night. So what I think it brings is just that kind of personal element to the dining experience, and these guys are a big part of it.
So for New Year's Eve, people are going to get in there. Is it the same menu that you guys would normally have? Do you have some certain selections built in that kind of either streamline it for you guys, you know, on the people side, or maybe something a little special that can kind of highlight just the, you know, the occasion as far as having it be New Year's Eve? What are people going to be able to enjoy over there?
Well, we're going to kind of show them what we do on a normal basis. We will embellish the menu with a couple of ideas, like a prime rib cart. We'll be rolling around some beautiful prime rib, cut to order at the table, which, you know, you've been there. It's, the experience is very interactive between the restaurant's dining staff and the clientele. So we'll kind of be showing them what we normally do. I think, again, you get a lot of people out for the first or second time, maybe of the year, as a special occasion. And if you show them what you do, they are able to understand it, come back, and enjoy the same setting. Whereas I found over the years, if you try and give people a blown-up menu on New Year's Eve and they come out and they don't get to experience what the true feeling of the restaurant's all about.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's a great point, right? Because if you do make it, you change it so much from what it is that you do on a daily basis. If people come out, let's say they really enjoy it. If they came back on a regular day, they're going to be disappointed if that's kind of what they were looking forward to. And on the other side of it is, if, let's say, they're like, this isn't really what I want. Maybe they're missing kind of what is your kind of true day-to-day vision. When you think about the vision and you think about this restaurant and at River Roast, and I got to tell the listeners too, on a day like today, it's kind of a stretch, right, to enjoy that outdoor thing. But in the summertime, it is. There's views, great views all the time. But in the summertime, there's almost no place better to sit outside and enjoy the river. Of course, it's a little bit cold here. But you and Tony Montuano, this was kind of your vision. I'm looking at it here in the food, and we talked a little bit about it, is great. But on the spirit side, did you guys, people brag about, you know, their wine list, you know, 10,000 bottles, and, you know, it's 50 pages long and all that kind of stuff. On the spirit side, was that a big thought process between you and Tony to get together? Because the selection here is pretty incredible. I mean, it's almost second to none. I mean, the things that you guys have going on the spirits.
Well, I mean, we certainly wanted to be beer and bourbon focused. I think that's kind of what's really going on right now in our world. And so we've got 16 beers on tap, all within about 300 miles are produced from Chicago, somewhat local breweries. And then on the spirit side, you know, a large bourbon program. And actually, we just got our first barrel of bourbon from Elijah Craig. So we have our own private label bourbon that we're pouring right now. So that's, you know, those are ways you can connect with the guests on a personal level.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So a great bourbon list, scotch. You could probably have like half again more on the scotch side, tequila, mezcal, gin, vodka, rum, international whiskeys. And you mentioned some of those local stuff that's going on as well. So talk about the times when people can get out there on New Year's Eve. And then we want to hit some of the special events coming up that are just kind of your normal, but also very special things as well. So for New Year's Eve, like what time should people show up and how do they get in on things?
Well, it's a Sunday, so we're kicking off with our Blues Brunch at 11 o'clock, and that'll run till 3. And the Blues Superman, as he is referring to himself right now, is a young man named Jemiah Rogers. And this kid is 22 years old. He's a prodigy, and he's going to be playing basically all day. We're going to have him set up, play brunch, and then they'll take a break, come back, and play for the nighttime entertainment as well. At the brunch will be our typical Sunday brunch with live music, and then dinner will roll into most of our normal menu with some additions of some other items that will feature for the night.
I see on here for the River Roast New Year's Supper, the bites, and you know you've made it when menu items contain your name in there. But Hogan's Charcuterie, this is something that you're supremely interested in and excited about.
Yeah, it's a huge passion of mine since the day I got in the kitchen in 1979. The first time I ate a pâté in a French restaurant, I said, I'm not quite sure what it is, but I got to find out how to make that. And it took many years of trial and error, mostly error at the beginning, a lot of trial. And now we've got what I think is one of the finest charcuterie programs in the city, without question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we've heard that. So excited. And let people know the website for them to get involved, get out there, see if they could come for the brunch and stay all night throughout New Year's Eve. And what's that website for them to get more information?
Well, you can go to riverroastchicago.com, and that'll have our hours as well as entertainment for the day. And you can also... there's a link to our Blues brunches, and you can go there and see what's coming up in the future.
And also, too, and let's touch on that for the next minute before we let you go. But you guys do that. You have these special events, but they're kind of typical, right? As far as they're regular, people can count on them. People love them, enjoy them. What was the thought process as far as having the special events kind of start? And then was the kind of the reception, you know, in such a way where you're like, we got to do more of this? Or was it the kind of thing you had to ease into and get people excited about it? Because now they happen pretty regularly and they are special.
Yeah, I mean, when we first created the concept for the restaurant and found the right location and realized that it's centrally located and we're going to have to be open 7 days a week and probably two services every day, which Sunday is usually my day where I like to kick back with my family, but I said, boy, I'm going to be working on Sundays, and therefore I kind of got the blues, Dane. And therefore when I was feeling the blues, I thought, why not just have the blues? And so that's kind of how that was born. I come from a background where I've been very involved in music in my life, and I just thought it would be a good outlet for the restaurant to show off the beautiful location and backdrop. That certainly in the warm weather months, we have the music right outside on the deck, and it's just really supreme setting for listening to Chicago's greatest export to the world, blues music.
Yeah, yeah, and in a setting that is unique as well. I mean, you've got the great and elevated food. Not often in the Blues Club is the food really the, you know, one of those things competing for the attention. But with River Roast, it definitely is. So last time on the website for people not only to get involved, see you on New Year's, not only for the brunch, but then of course all night, and then for those other events that are coming up down the road as well.
Excellent. And another quick point about our blues at River Rose is, for me, I exposed my children to music at a very young age, and it's pretty tough to drag your kids to a blues club in Chicago, basically because it's not legal for them to walk in the door.
Right.
So it's a great way for families to bring their children and expose them again to the great product that is the blues.
I think that's a great point. Well, now with the band, you know, before in the past, you know, you'd have to, you know, not a lot of kids 8-9 years old were chain smokers even back in the day. So now, though, with the, you know, with the new restrictions on smoking, it's not at least unhealthy to bring the kids to the Blues Club, but an opportunity. And that's a great point that you're making. Bring the kids to River Roast, get them in on some of that great ambiance, the food, the view, and of course, some of that best music. So John, I'm going to let you go. Wish you luck kind of getting everybody ready, you and Tony, for celebrations, not only the rest of this week, but then of course the big New Year's Eve stuff happening at River Roast. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Thank you, Dane, and have a safe, prosperous, and very peaceful New Year.
That's right. That's what we're going to hope to. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dane.
All right, the River Rose. That's one of those great places. We'll feature some more, including your couch, if you're going to be watching Northern Illinois battle a little bit later today in the bowl game, or, of course, Northwestern coming up a little bit later. We're going to have Beth Peterson, and she is a tailgate guru, so she knows about tailgating. If you want to get out there and enjoy some below zero food and beverage options, or if you want to do it at home, that might be advisable. Especially with it being as cold as it is. Right now, though, 27 minutes after, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll throw it to news. It's Dane and for John on 720 WGN. Nice. Yeah. It's good. Some upbeat drumming. 720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Dane. In for John Williams until 3, Dan Long in the booth. And to my right, when you can attach the word guru to whatever it is that you do, whatever your chosen vocation or area of expertise, you know that you're doing something right, or maybe many things right, maybe multiple things right, maybe so many things right. That's just the way that it works. And Beth Peterson, when it comes to tailgates, she is a guru in other areas as well. But that's one that has been specifically identified and highlighted, especially today as Northern Illinois is in the Quick Lane Bowl. And the fine folks at Quick Lane, big thanks to them out at Ford Field. They're going against Duke. So this is a battle. Dan has mentioned that maybe this is a lesser bowl. Maybe it's not the most, you know, prestigious bowl, but it's always great, right? And you can get out there and do a bowl game. And let's say Duke is out there, and I think
that's a tough team, right?
Yeah, higher learning, right? I think they take them. They're great at basketball, typically. I'm not sure if the football team has not, you know, had anywhere near the amount of attention. But they probably still want to win, and they probably feel like, you know, academic. academically, they're already winners, right? So this would be a great opportunity to get a nice Illinois win. A lot of Illinois and Northern Illinois alums are excited about this.
Sure. Yeah, this is the place. I mean, a lot of Northern Illinois alums, including I went to Northern for part of my college career. So go Huskies. It's going to be probably a really an interesting game today, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. You can get in on it right away. And so we're going to talk a little bit of home gaining. It is cold outside. You have traveled the country with the ESPN kickoff. What was it? The cook-off before
it's
kickoff?
It's the cook-off before kickoff, yeah, for 2 years.
And there's not a lot of games that are played in this kind of weather. You got the bowl games. I think Ford Field, they've got a dome, so it'll probably be temperature controlled. But not in the parking lot. I don't know that anyone's been considered enough to go ahead and dome a parking lot.
No. Mostly it's you're out there in the elements, and sometimes it's really hot depending on where you are in the country and what time of year it is, because you know tailgate goes all the way from August all the way through to, you know, January. So, depending on where you are in the country and what time of year, it could be like sweltering hot out and you've got to deal with, you know, making sure everything's iced properly and, you know, temperature. And then, of course, when it's freezing cold out, you gotta have all the warm foods and the gloves and the hats and, you know, get in the car every once in a while just to warm up.
It's occasionally cold in the fall, probably not close to zero. But does it, when the weather's like this, does it pretty much just cut everybody's appetite for tailgating?
I mean, not Chicago. Out at Soldier Field. I mean, they're tailgating no matter what.
Okay, so what kind of things for a day, you know, and the signal reaches so many different places, for sure, probably you can hear it, and I'm sure people are prepping out there in Detroit. Is there, like, what kind of things can people do? Is it more like the hot toddy? Is it like the cocoa, maybe spiked cocoa?
Definitely.
Certainly you have a grill, so you're appreciating the fact that
everyone's standing around the grill. Likely, I mean, and people will bring fire pits out, and, you know, you've got to have those little hand warmers and feet warmers. It's awesome they have those now. And, you know, cooler can be used for hot items and cold items. I do a really yummy, almost like a breakfast bundle, because, you know, if a tailgate starts early in the day and it's cold outside, you want a warm breakfast. It's really awesome. It's a potato. It's a baked potato that's filled with all sorts of delicious things, like, you know, for sure an egg. And I'll do one with like chorizo and salsa and, you know, top it with a little bit of sour cream. And then what you do is, you know, you've baked the potato and you wrap it up. And I actually attach a fork to it. And then you put it in your cooler. I know, it's super cute. And then you put it in the cooler and then, you know, bring it out and just open it up. And there you have these like hearty, delicious, warm potato that you're eating. It's awesome. You just can hold it and eat it.
I think the potato is under-recognized for me, the baked potato, you know, whether it's a side for something that you're having, maybe a steak or roast beef or whatever it is that you're going to have. And it's the kind of thing, at least for me personally, it's the kind of thing that I don't have all the time,
right?
But it's so easy to make, and it's so easy to, and then once you eat it, you wonder, it's like that old friend that you run into. You're like, why are we doing
why
this
don't
more
we
often?
Have this more often. I know. It's so fun. I actually have a giant bag that I've gotten from like Costco that I keep in the house and for my kids, because I've got, you know, two big boys.
Yeah.
I have showed them how to make the baked potato in the microwave and in the oven, depending on what they want to do, how fast they want to eat it. And they often will just like, it's like their go-to like nighttime snack, or because they can do that at their age. They can just, you know, have a baked potato at midnight if they want.
Some of the privileges of maturity, right?
Exactly.
You can go ahead. So have they, and of course, your one son is playing college football, right?
That's right.
Do you ever, you know, just to kind of scope up, keep your hand on the pulse of things? You can't be everywhere. You've got a lot of stuff going on. Do you ever say like, hey, you know, if you hear about any cool tailgate trends, you know, fill me in.
Yeah, well, sure.
Like a secret agent.
Mostly it's the gear. That's the thing that he's really into. As a matter of fact, Christmas this year was all for him, was all like kitchen and food gear. He wanted a crock pot for Christmas.
Well, when you think gear, you think food gear. And then when specifically in kind of the wheelhouse of tailgating, I think of it, and we can all imagine, you know, that helmet, right, with the two cans and the straw.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all started, right?
Right. I mean, that's so iconic tailgate, right? You see the guy with the straw with the thing. And
he's got like a construction helmet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you're out there.
The two beers on either side.
Two beers.
Right?
Yeah, and then there's a straw, then you're just good to go.
Yep. Yeah, the gear, that's one piece of gear. But when you're talking about like tailgating and cooking, you know, there's so many cool things out there right now. One of the items that is on my list is this keg grill. I can't remember the name of it, but it looks like a keg, but it's actually a grill. Super fun and cool for tailgating. So lots of really great things to keep things warm and cold. And, you know, you got to have the gear for tailgating. It's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm surprised about is people kind of get out there and enjoy their day. And we've done this over the last couple of days. You know, you get out, you're doing something because it's Christmas, right? This is the day after Christmas. So I'm sure under the tree, a lot of people found some gear, some cool things that they liked. But I just had to, this doesn't have anything to do with tailgating other than the fact it's cold and you could certainly wear it, is that you're wearing a monogram Dunkin' Donuts hat. And hats off, no pun intended, to the Dunkin' Donut folks, because they have, you know, the merchandising has got to be a big part of their thing. You know, you get like, okay, mugs, travel mugs. Sure. This is a way to do that. I didn't know that they got into outerwear.
Outerwear, of course. It's so cute, isn't it? It's like a raspberry colored with stripes, and it's super cute. And it's got the DD right on the front. Very cute.
That makes no sense to me. You wonder where the board meeting is, and they're getting in there, and they're like, okay, well, here, I could see maybe a spoon for stirring. I could see, you know, a coaster. I could see
they've got the really cute ornaments. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those little things, but then
What made you decide? Was it that really cool?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge Dunkin' Donuts fan.
Oh, okay.
Love Dunkin' Donuts coffee and the donuts and everything else. And so I was standing in line, and it was an impulse purchase. Actually, it was last year at the holidays, and I bought a bunch for people that I knew loved Dunkin' Donuts, and I got myself one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks great, and typically, you know, you're going to do things, you're going to choose things that you think, you know, are appealing from a visual perspective, and of course, functional, practical, right? Yeah. It looks very warm.
Yeah. This is perfect for Chicago.
I was just thrown off a little bit because I'm thinking the Dunkin' Donuts have other things to worry about than
outerwear.
Hey, yeah, like maybe making some donuts, you know,
And you know what's kind of cool about it? It's not like overtly branded. There's like two little DDs. You might not even have noticed it.
I would never have noticed.
Just like this little, like sort of faux leather piece right there. But I know that it's my Dunkin' Donuts hat.
Well, good outerwear, I think, is important too, because especially when it's cold out there, you're going to want to be able to be correctly dressed in layers and all those things so you can enjoy all the things going on at the tailgate. With us, we've got tailgate guru Beth Peterson. And as 4:15 approaches and Northern Illinois Quick Lane Bowl is coming up against Duke, so a lot of people in the area, alums for Northern, excited about that. It's exciting stuff. And then coming up a little bit later on in the week, Northwestern is in the Music City Bowl. And I think that one's in Nashville, I'm pretty sure. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
I would think so, right?
It would make sense. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. When we come back, you wonder, why do people do the tailgating? Certainly it's to, you know, to celebrate, right? To do it in a certain way. And certainly you want to get fed. You maybe have a couple drinks. Maybe you don't want to you don't have the restrictions that you might. And plus you have a lot of flexibility and diversity and things that you can have that you don't have at the concession stand. But, you know, I will contend, and I think you've got some thoughts on this as well, that there is something else happening in the tailgate world, something that makes people do it, makes people love it, makes it legendary in a lot of different ways, where either the camaraderie, either like the family, maybe it's the connection over the team, the community. Mm-hmm. You have done tailgates in some of the biggest college football places where it is the thing.
It's the thing. It's bigger than the game. Many times people just go to the tailgate. They don't have tickets to the game. They are going for the party.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, I have to tell you, most of the tailgates I've gone to, I haven't gone to the game. I just go for the party.
Well, of course.
And sometimes I don't even care or know who's playing. Okay.
Well, for you.
For me.
Tailgate guru, of course. You have to have your priorities.
It's all about the tailgate.
You're focusing on that. Also, too, 312-981-7200. You can text in. You can call it in. We're going to get it from Violetta. We'll get it from Dan as well. Like, this is the day after Christmas. Like, what did you get? What did you give? What are you thankful for? All those kind of things. We can kind of extend the glow a little bit and sort of in a John Williams theme. He does this segment called The Bright Side, which is absolutely amazing. People call in and say, here's what, you know, this is happening in their life. Could be something very simple, could be earth shattering, could be something really big on the family side, but it's always kind of a cool radio high five. We're not going to do the whole kind of call in thing, but people can kind of share some things, especially right here, right after Christmas. Right now, though, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back more with Beth Peterson. It's Dane and for John on 720 WGN. Ooh, 720 WGN Live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, on the day after Christmas, the 26th of December. Dane Neal in for you, along with Tailgate Guru, Beth Peterson, to my right, Dan Long in the booth as well. And John Williams, you know, typically doing this. We're going to be in for him tomorrow and Wednesday as well. We'll have Elephant, and he does this segment called The Bright Side. And I absolutely love it. It is an opportunity to where people just kind of call up and share whatever's going on. Like, hey, you know, I went to traffic court and they dismissed it, to everything from I'm in remission from cancer for this. You know, I mean, it goes from little to big, whatever makes people happy. And I think on the day after Christmas, you know, either what you got, you know, what you gave, what you're thankful for in general this time of year would be cool. And from the 262, my daughter gave birth to twins today. Aww. That was our big holiday present.
I love that.
That's how awesome is that?
That's very awesome. What a beautiful day to, you know, time of year to have new people come into
new people,
new little people come into your family. It's amazing.
312-981-7200. You can call in, you can leave it with Dan, you can text it in, and we'll get to as many of those as possible today. So Beth, you know, you're a mom. You know, and so, you know, as a parent, and Christmas is kind of a big deal, you know,
for a
bunch of different reasons. So how'd your Christmas go?
It was great. We had a really good Christmas. My kids are a little bit older now, so, you know, wasn't up late putting things together. And certainly everything was much smaller. Everything gets smaller as they get older, I think, you know, under the Christmas tree.
Except for them.
Except for them. They're really, really big. And then little teeny, you know, boxes of electronic things, and or, you know, they really just want cash mostly.
Oh, geez.
No, yes, they're not that they bad. They want a mix. They want a mix of the cash, heavy on the cash.
A mix of cash and the things they would buy with the cash.
That's right. Okay. Exactly. So it gets a little tiny bit boring because, like, you know, there's no toys to play with, except the boys, my boys, got me an air gun. Like one of those, like, not an air gun, but like one
of
those.
For personal protection. It's a dangerous world out there. Kim Jong-un.
It has ping pong balls in it and marshmallows in it. So it's not too dangerous. And so the festivities were very fun on Christmas morning because we just ran around the house shooting each other with ping pong balls and marshmallows.
You know what they say.
So if you go on my Instagram, you'll see a picture of me holding my air gun with the marshmallows and the ping pong balls and looking pretty mean.
They say that, right. It was. You did look a little angry out there. I was wondering.
Bad Santa.
I wonder if everything went okay. But yeah, so and they say the family that is armed and shoots together stays together.
That's right. As long as it's marshmallows and ping pong balls, I think.
So when you think about this, it's a little bit of advice here because we've got kids that are, you know, it's 11, 9, and 6. So they're still, you know, Vivian got a Barbie dream, you know, so they do that kind
of
stuff.
Love those days, yeah.
Didn't have any bicycles, you know, so just from, because you were talking about things kind of getting downsized, getting simplified. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember some times where it was an all night thing, just like, you know, helping to kind of, you know, build things.
Yeah.
Right. That were going on. Yeah. Of course, I have to be kind of delicate in the way that I describe what it is that was built and was not. But now if it's just electronics, you know, it's a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. But then it is, you know, they're not sitting there playing with the things. They're just on whatever it is and ignoring you the rest of the day. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
That's exactly it. Although I have to say, we had a lot of fun with the little air gun thing running around the house. And we watched a lot of, what's fun is to really, they really sit down and want to watch the Christmas shows. So we watched like 5 Christmas shows yesterday. I mean, like from, you know, Christmas Story to Elf to, and they really sat there the whole time and watched it. Like, whereas before they would like sit and watch like part of it and then run away and go play and stuff like that. This was like laughing hysterically together.
Is it because you know, I'll contend too that these shows, and we've talked about it kind of leading up to Christmas too. We had Blake Stubbs on talking a little bit about some of your favorite Christmas stuff, but the things that are on, we didn't get a chance to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Usually that's great if you can find it, but you know, A Christmas Story was easy to find. It was on loop. I think it was on like 3 or 4 times before somebody cried, can we not watch this again? Again,
why is it still on?
And then we watched Elf, which has now kind of made its way into the team photo of class, even though it's more recent than some of the other ones. But A Christmas Story is great, you know, for all of those reasons that you love it. It's so dysfunctional too. There's so many like completely non-cool things going on in it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, from the constant swearing to the soap, and of course the potential shooting of the eye out.
Well, we like to watch the older ones too, like A Miracle on 34th Street and A Bishop's Wife, and of course It's a Wonderful Life. We watch that on Christmas Eve. So we've got all sorts of fun. We really kind of binged the Christmas stuff over the last few days.
The first time ever had something I could really identify with in Christmas. Christmas Story. So I had the, and I've got to get a hold of Lou Manfredini because I know he'll know what to do, or at least he'll know what I should do, what it should cost, and maybe who to call. I'd ring a bell if I had one. I had the electric igniter go out on the furnace. So the furnace is still works, and this happened sort of a couple times, but it wasn't like a permanently not working like it is right now on Christmas. It's a tough time for that to happen. We've got some space heaters you get all, is it safe to run the oven to keep people alive, you know, or are you going to kill them while you're trying to keep them alive? Who knows? So you have that, but you of course remember that famous scene from Christmas Story where he's constantly working on the furnace and banging on it.
Yeah. And rats and frats and from the basement and smoke is coming out. It's a good one. So is that you? Is that what you're doing?
Because here's the thing. It's a little touchy. Now, the internet is an amazing thing, and you know this, because from the instruction side of things, so Maxwell got some kind of, they got Simon, remember this, the old game Simon?
Oh, I love that game.
Different colors, and they have a pattern. It beeps or lights up, and then you replicate the pattern until you don't anymore. Well, now they've got like a headset version where the lights come on, and then it's so strange.
Wow.
You know, where you're using your hands to but couldn't figure out how to get it.
I can't even imagine that. Wow. Okay.
I look it up on the internet.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
So instead of reading the instructions, which I guess is physically painful, even though it came with a little, they just looked up the video online of how to make it work. And then of course they had it figured out. So this is the difference between now and maybe when we were kids, is now the internet will tell you how to fix anything. Yeah. So with the furnace, decided the internet will know what to do, right?
All knowing.
Yeah, it knows how to change a light bulb on a car. It knows how to do, you know, and it even has all those things you'd never know. Like, here's what's tricky. There's this little switch here. Uh-huh. Got it. The internet knows. So I get on there, and it seems as though there's ways that it can be fixed, you know, and the part is easy to change out or something like that. But then you've got that fear of, you know, unlike putting a new headlight in a car, if you do it wrong, maybe you're killing it, or maybe you explode the house.
Yeah,
you know?
This is an area that maybe requires a professional.
Yeah,
so that's what I would think.
I'm going to check in with Lou on that. So that's the exciting. We saw Elf, and we got some cool stuff. I wanted to say, too, from the building side of it, 312-981-7200. If you did that, you could share that as well. We'll definitely mention 815 built a full drum set.
Wow.
See, because here's the other side of it, too. It depends on how isolated as far as some of the areas of your house. You know, and it's cold. You don't want to be out in the garage trying to build this stuff. There's a lot of
away
things
somewhere. Yes.
Make it unpleasant.
Well,
and then the drum is loud.
The drum is loud. Yeah. Then after you've done this, then you go to sleep, and then you wake up, you're a little groggy and tired, and then you got the drum pounding.
Have you ever had kind of a close call where you're building something and then someone wakes up and someone's got to run interference?
Definitely. There's always a little bit of rustling going on, and you're always like paranoid that you're going to be, you know, outed at any moment.
Do you have like an explanation? Because
at the time, you know, now it's all fine, but at the time there was a time when that was a big concern, and so there was lookout. There was like whippoorwill.
What?
Someone's coming down the stairs.
Was that like
a glass of orange juice and send them back up?
Yeah,
a glass of warm milk.
Yeah, the whole elf on the shelf thing. Wow, there's another fun thing. So Dan, for Christmas for you, did you get anything that somebody spent all night building, number one, or did you get anything that you were excited about? Did you give something that maybe you were excited to have people get?
You know, I haven't gotten or given a gift that required a lot of assembly in many years.
Good. Yeah, so when your family shops at IKEA, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's a lot of work.
Unless you hate yourself.
Yeah, that's, boy, you talk about needing the internet for instructions.
All right, when we come back, we are going to go deep into the work. I'm sure people are building their tailgate. They got some supplies. They cannot wait to tailgate a little bit later on today for Northern, a little bit later on the week for Northwestern, you know, in the spring and all sorts of different ways. We're going to talk tailgating with Beth. We're going to get deep into the philosophy, the mindset, the community, all that kind of stuff when it comes to that perfect tailgate. The 20 WGN Live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Danielle in for John Williams until 3 p.m. today, kind of talking a little bit about some of the things that you're thankful for on Christmas, the day after Christmas here, kind of extending the glow a little bit. Unfortunately, like our glow, at least the any glow related to anything warm, like turned off in the middle of the night because the electronic igniter on the furnace. And then we were kind of joking around off the air about some of the things that you can learn from the internet. The internet is an amazing thing. So I knew the internet would know.
Yeah.
So I looked up, you know, if you put in the model number, and there's all, who are these people that have time to make these helpful videos?
They're experts. They want to share.
Well, some of them, sometimes it's a 9-year-old kid, you know, it's right. Not necessarily on the furnace, but as far as some of these, like, here's what you do. Or just a guy, and you know, all levels of professionalism. Some, you know, there's, you know, got subtitles and logos flying, and yeah. And some it's kind of just like shaky cam, and yeah. They're kind of explaining. I don't know what possesses them to do it. I'm so thankful, because almost any topic that you could bring up, someone on the internet has made a video yeah. that will tell you what to do or what not to do.
I mean, it's a business for some people, right? They're sharing information, and you know, there's advertising around it, and they're making
for some of these.
Yeah, some are not.
This is a very very small business. Dan, have you ever like had to know something, even a piece of equipment? Because I mean, even on the radio side, I've looked up like a piece of equipment, and there's someone's got a review of it or something on there. Have you ever checked the internet out?
Yeah, all the time between you know. Like you said, radio stuff or music stuff, you know, you go to musician's friend or something like that where they got instruments and gear, and there's always reviews, some more helpful than others up there.
Right, right, some are.
Sometimes it's like, it makes it even more confusing, right? You're like, wait, how did that, I don't know how, I'm just going to read the instructions now.
Oh, never. You just read a better review. Well, it depends. So on the furnace side, there's, it seems like it's pretty easy to fix, pretty straightforward. If you can get the part, it could be the kind of thing where you could get it done yourself and save a couple dollars. The kind of troubling part is the only guys making the video are guys in work shirts with their name embroidered on them. So there's a level of professionalism. Sure. This isn't like an everyday thing, mm-hmm. you know, like here. And the consequences or downside, you know, if you screw it up.
It's the furnace.
You don't want to break the furnace. Even they're expensive, and right. then you don't want to either kill everybody. That's
no,
not funny.
That
or blow up the house, right?
Yeah, house blowing up isn't a good option either. No.
So
yeah.
I'll check in. I'll check in with Lou.
Well, luckily you've got Lou. So Lou's an expert here.
I'm not asking Lou to do it because obviously he would do it, but he'll know what it should cost. Do you ever have that kind of trusted person that'll at least tell you, here's what it should cost, here's where you should go.
This you should absolutely not do this yourself, or you know you can probably do this right kind of thing. Like it's nice to kind of have that sort of like grade, right? Definitely don't do it. Okay, you could probably.
Yeah, and he's pretty straightforward. So we'll look forward to that. But it is the day after Christmas, 312-981-7200. You can share some of the things that you're thankful for. We've shared some of those from the listeners as well. I know that fans of Northern Illinois are going to be excited to have a big victory on the tailgating side coming up. I know there's probably a lot of people getting ready to make that pilgrimage down to, I think it's Nashville for the Music City Bowl to see the Northwestern Wildcats play. They've had a great season. It's nice to be able to celebrate on that. But on the tailgate side, you know, and it is what it is. You break it apart and you kind of, you know, on paper, it is the period of time, maybe that morning until game time, right? Before something happens. And on paper, it is a collection of individuals to whatever level. Like you said, you don't always go to the game, slightly interested in the outcome, but still supportive of the participants.
Absolutely.
On both sides, and typically has food and beverages involved.
There's always food and beverages involved.
From there, it's kind of open to interpretation, but I think that it is, there's something greater than the sum of the parts that happens with the tailgate that have, where people look forward to either getting together. Some of them look forward to showing off some of the, that they make
their new gear.
There's a man cave that like explodes out of their van.
That's right. They start early. They start, people are planning their tailgate season for next year already. I mean, it's very, very organized. There's big community and groups organizing massive tailgates all around the country, you know, starting from the first of the year. You know, till right before the season, everyone starts to get all of their, you know, this is what you're bringing, this is what you're doing. And, you know, there's usually somebody that it is, you know, kind of running the entire show and taking charge of things. I have a group that I'm friends with at South Carolina called the Gourmet Gents, and they have a very organized season.
A president and a secretary?
They do. Absolutely, they do. And they've got the lead chef who sort of, you know, doles out all of the tasks related to what everyone is going to be bringing. And, I mean, they theme these things out to the nth. It's unbelievable. One of them that I went to was a low country boil, and somebody made a giant boat, like, container. It looked like a boat. it was a container for the seafood boil that they poured the seafood boil into that kind of spilled out of the boat so people could go. It was just like this. They had ice sculptures and massive cakes. I mean, it's incredible what they do and how they plan for it. So, and that is just about everything that you were talking about. These are tradition. This is all based in tradition, and there's family and friends that get together every single week. In some cases, I like to call it the tailgate table, where all the food sort of gets put when people arrive with their, because it's like, you know, these are massive potlucks, right?
Right.
Everybody's bringing something to contribute. And there are places on that tailgate table that you would never put your dish, because that's where Aunt Sally's dish goes every single day. You know, we
really so like Aunt Sally's dish has like season tickets to the table.
Exactly. Yes. She's got like a, you know, an honored spot on the table because, you know, her casserole is something that everybody looks forward to and they're coming to find it on the tailgate table. I mean, this goes deep. This goes very deep. And, you know, certainly it's different from NFL to, you know, to college, and from the north to the south and all around the country. It's all very different.
But. So now would you say that where you've got these longstanding traditions on the collegiate side, and some of these venues are huge, bigger than a lot of NFL stadiums. And there isn't a lot of other things going on sports-wise that maybe they can kind of take on
this is their team.
A life of their own, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I guess around the country, are there some things, and let people know we're talking with Beth Peterson, tailgate guru, and are there some things that are just kind of standards that are always going to be a part of wherever you are? Or is it always, you know, kind of front and center is the whatever happens to be in the air? You mentioned the a seafood boil. That was where it's at. Was that South Carolina?
Oh, yeah, it was in South Carolina. Oh, absolutely. All around the country, the food is so different. And their take on how they serve it is so different. And just, you know, but the one thing that is the constant is there's always great food and drink. And, of course, it usually is taking place outside. I would say almost always. And or a lot of people, you know, they may not get out to the field. They may not get out to the stadium. So they do something that I like to call home gating. I mean, there's a lot of people celebrating in their homes every single week and having big, you know, parties and events surrounding, you know, whatever team that they're, you know, that they're rooting for.
Do they ever call off the tailgate and everybody just like the gents, would they ever just decide, let's do a home gate? Or do they do that like on the off?
Depends on the weather. I mean, if it's
travel,
really, really bad. And
if it's a away game and they're going to everybody get together and watch it?
Some of these people will travel all over the country every single week, you know, and they go watch away games and stuff like that. And they do their tailgate in different parts of the country and follow their team. I mean, they may have like, you know, a smaller version of it, but they definitely do. And sometimes it's just as big. But I would imagine for gourmet gents, they're very dedicated, as are many, many tailgate groups. But they may take it into the house. It just depends on the weather. Like if the weather is absolutely,
or they build a house on site in the parking lot.
That's not so off, because one of the tailgates that I absolutely loved, because like I said, I went to like, you know, all the ESPN game days for 2 years around the country, and one of the best ones was at North Dakota State. And they build, it gets really cold there. So they build structures. They have these
like,
makeshift
like ice
structures.
Fishing houses or
a little
something?
Bit. Yes, it's a little bit shaky sometimes, but they build these structures. So it's definitely something people do.
Well, if you're traveling, you may be building a structure. If you're in the parking lot in Detroit for Northern Illinois, is there in the Quick Lane Bowl. But maybe a little bit later, people are going to be traveling down to the Music City Bowl to watch the Northwestern Wildcats. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Beth about some ways that you can, the vast majority of us, enjoy these games, build in a little bit of that tailgate flair and feeling, a little bit of mobility in the food, some festive elements, mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, cracking up that 30 pack of natural ice. Right? Elevate it a little bit. It's a special occasion.
Tearing open a bag of chips and throwing it on the table. Certainly you can do that, but there's a lot of cool things
to do. It's not either or, it's and. You can do all of that.
That's right.
Plus some other items. We'll hear about those when we come back. Staying in for John here on 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. Dane in for John until 3 p.m. As the Chicago area, the greater Midwest, fans of not only education but excellence on the gridiron are excited for a couple games coming up. One is happening just after this program, so you need to get in gear and start that that winning drive, right, mm-hmm. to the store. Maybe pick up some items because Northern Illinois is going to be head-to-head with the Duke Blue Devils for the Quick Lane Bowl at 4:15 out there at Ford Field in Detroit. And it is cold outside, and we're not all there, and it's far, right? And it's right after a holiday, and you probably spent a bunch of money fixing your furnace or maybe on some great gifts, you know, for the family. And so you're going to be watching it at home, which is really great. I mean, there are some sports that we talk about. Hockey is one that there's really – it's not – an adequate substitute for watching it on television. Being there is so much cooler. Motorsports and auto racing is the same. Football's pretty great on TV, you know, the way that with the angles and all that kind of stuff. Dan, what do you think? I mean, you get to go to a lot of events, a lot of football games, baseball, a lot of different sports stuff. Football on TV is pretty good.
Yeah, football on TV is, I think, way superior than being there in person. It just, you know, with all the downtime and in terms of your sight lines and stuff, most NFL stadiums are not that good, especially seats that are affordable. You're in the end zone somewhere. You got obstructed views. Give me a cold beer, access, ready access to a bathroom, and high definition, you're right over the play.
Yeah, yeah. You got the instant replays. You got the commentary. You got all those things. You mentioned, you know, the bathroom or maybe a complicated but effective catheter system. Some people would be thankful for that from the 312. Sending thankful for friends who help me when I'm having a hard time.
Aww,
isn't that the truth?
That's really nice.
We need that from 312. And then also, too, is from the 630. A lot of, well, there's at least two people. I want to say a lot, but two people very thankful for Don Kleppen, our news guy today.
That's awesome.
So, Don, how does that feel? You've got a fan base out there that are thankful specifically for you.
That is very exciting to me. It's the best gift I've gotten.
Look at this. I'm getting all kind of little chills there. And Violetta, like, of course, it's the day after Christmas, of course, but I'm just trying to, we're extending the glow a little bit. Was there anything that you got that you were excited, or something you gave that you were excited that your friends or family received?
So we're not big on presents in my family, but I was definitely wishing for snow for Christmas, and I might be regretting my wish now since it's, you know, below zero. But I really like that it snowed on Christmas Eve, and I feel like it got you in the holiday spirit.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely got me. Perfect that night. It absolutely was so pretty to have a white Christmas.
And right on time. Like, you couldn't have...
It was planned. It was like in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my Hallmark Channel spectaculars.
That's nice. To be thankful for things that you can't control is great.
Can I say something I was grateful for?
Sure, absolutely.
I got for my 14-year-old daughter, she had just a little teeny bit of money to spend, she bought me a 3-ring notebook.
to write down other
to write
things.
Down notes about life, I think.
And really?
I opened it and I was like, this is so sweet. It's a little 3-ring notebook. It's really sweet.
You wonder. Sometimes kids, you know.
It's pretty. It's pink.
Yeah. I remember, well, we got stuff. And sometimes it's, you know, the kids, they're just excited to give you almost anything, right? And,
for sure.
And they don't really think about the fact that maybe, you know, who knows whether you're really going to ever use it or whatever.
Right.
I got a...
I'm going to use the notebook for sure.
Yeah, I got like a can coolie, you know.
Nice.
I got some stuff, right.
You know what? Why she had a little bit of money is because of her babysitting job for the Neal children.
We're glad to help out. See how it comes full circle? It's like an ecosystem,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's how I'm sure the president would say. Like, it's all going to trickle down somehow, and someone's going
to
get
trickle down to me.
Going to get a 3-ring binder out of the whole thing. Well, people are going to be using their can coolies, I know that, and then writing down either recipes. These are things they're going to get to the store, not only for today, for later on for the game, the bowl game, but also coming up for Northwestern. So give the listeners a little bit of tips, home gating, something kind of cool
home
that they can do.
Is awesome.
Maybe
on
a couple of things, maybe on the drink side and then maybe on the food side.
Okay.
Something.
All right. Let me tell you a couple of things that I think are going to be great to do for home gating. Something fast and easy is going to be something like maybe doing a popcorn bar. This is something that we love to do, is to get, you know, pop a lot of popcorn and put it in different bins and take shakers and put different kinds of seasonings in it. From Parmesan cheese to a little bit of some seasoning salt to some celery salt, lots of different combinations. And it's fun. You put little bags out. People can scoop their popcorn in there, shake on what they want on there. It's a fast and easy one. And you can buy the popcorn already made, just plain popcorn. You don't even have to pop it.
If you do pop it, what do you recommend? Because there's, I'm kind of more of a fan. Microwave popcorn is very easy, right? Everybody knows how to do it. The kids can do it themselves. You got to be careful not to burn it. It's not good if you burn it.
No, it's bad.
Kind of a fan. Remember the old Jiffy Time pop thing?
Not the
Jiffy Time itself. Nothing against the fine folks at Jiffy Time. I'm sure they're sponsoring a bowl at some point this weekend as well. But just doing it on the stove, like you can make it. Yeah. It's not so greasy.
I like the air popper. Put it in, it's really fast and it comes out and it doesn't have a lot of oil in it and stuff like that. So that's a good one. Now, if you're really planning, one of a really fun thing that I like to do is a snack stadium. So if you know you're going to have a big crowd,
or you're trying to lure in a big crowd,
trying to bring in a big crowd, you can put together this really cool thing called a snack stadium, where you can put all of your snacks in one spot, including sodas, sandwiches, guacamole dip. If you Google snack stadium, you're going to be amazed at some of the things you see out there, some of the creative ways that people put a snack stadium together. There was somebody that we talked to one of the times I was in about tailgating. She's a Food Network.
Well, Sunny Anderson. She created the Infladium.
That's right.
So she doesn't take care of any of the food, but she gives you the venue.
The venue, right. So you because with the snack stadium, you have to invariably build some sort of structure, whether it's a permanent structure or something like that. I know this sounds like a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. It does, it's really a lot of fun.
I heard build a structure.
But if you know you're going to be hosting and you want to do something that's really a showstopper,
right?
The snack stadium.
That's like, hey, you want to be special or what?
Right. If you want to be special, you want people to talk about your party and say, wow, that was really cool.
Oh,
the snack stadium. And for people to have a really good time.
I did Google it. And if you're not into building a really crazy stadium, you know those things that hold files? They're kind of hold folders.
Mm-hmm.
So they just wrap those all the way around and then you just put different snacks in each one.
I've seen that one. That's a good one.
Looks very easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
But still cool.
Yeah. Or you can get crazy elaborate and build some structure.
Right. I saw one with sub sandwiches all the way around. That seems difficult.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've done a little dessert stadium before where you can just use cookies and brownies and stuff. You have fun with it. And
my stadium would look like a little league game, just a couple people, just some parents in the stands, nothing really big. Oh, well, okay. So when we come back from the break, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have Joe Farina. He's going to be talking about things at Victory Tap. Hopefully, there'll be some victories happening on the football field. And, of course, you're going to be big winners when we talk about some of the home gating stuff. We'll continue that with Beth a little bit as well. Quick thing, though, is from the 620. She used to wish for snow for Christmas, just like Violetta, but it makes it so hard when you're prepping for a full house and have to fit church in the mix. It still looks pretty, though, so there's some recognition of the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the 773, my 14-year-old bought me a beautiful day calendar for 2018 with her babysitting money.
There you go. The babysitting money is coming in handy.
Yeah, that's all that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll send it to news. It's Dane in for John here on 720 WGN. WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on the day after Christmas as everybody is kind of getting ready. One down as far as some of these big end of the year holidays. One to go. The biggest New Year's Eve is coming up. Beth Peterson to my right talking about,
we're talking about lots of
football
things.
Too. Yeah. You've got the tailgating, the home gating. So those are some big occasions coming up, especially if you're fans of Northern Illinois football. Who isn't? And of course, our very own Northwestern Wildcats heard often here and more often than not in kind of a victory situation here. So it's Northwestern isn't always great.
Right.
So when they're doing well, this is an opportunity.
Go Cats.
Exactly. You got to do Violetta. You got to do the what is it?
like that.
Right.
I think we're making people's ears bleed.
All right. So other than that, obviously you've got some exciting things to look forward to when it comes to great places to get out and enjoy some great meals, and specifically on New Year's Eve. You've got two different locations, Chicago's Victory Tap, which is right there in on Michigan Avenue, right here in the city, and then Victory Meat and Seafood, which is a brand new place, excited about happening out in Elmhurst. And on the line with us is the man behind so much of it, been around and a culinary star in Chicagoland for many, many years. Excited to have him involved in some of these new projects. Chef Joe Farina, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
I'm doing fine. We're a little cold right now. Of course, Chicago is cold. It's always warm and inviting in some of these new Victory locations. So talk a little bit about some of the different places. First off, congratulations on that new place in Elmhurst, downtown Elmhurst. That is going to be a great one for you.
Yeah, I think so. Downtown Elmhurst is a great, it's a great suburb to begin with. And, you know, all the people are great, and our food there is a little different, you know, than our traditional Italian that we do. We wanted to do a little, like a meat and seafood, so steaks, chops, fresh fish. I have 8 different oyster choices every day, 4 different fresh fish every day.
Wow, that's going to be great for New Year's Eve.
I think so. Sounds... And we also, both locations are doing... we're doing $40 Dom Perignon by the glass at both locations.
Wow.
Pretty good bargain. It's really neat. And we're going to do a nice champagne toast at midnight, balloons, hats, all that at both locations.
Well, Chef, let's talk a little bit about the Michigan Avenue location and what Chicago's Victory Tap. So what are the kind of things that you're doing on a regular basis? People are going to get out and enjoy New Year's Eve with you, hopefully, and we'll give them all the information to do that. But talk about the place. You know, people are enjoying it, you know, all the time, right, every day of the week and during the year. But
absolutely.
A little background, kind of the mindset and the philosophy as you got in there and kind of shaped what it is people are doing.
Yeah, you know, at Victory Tap on Michigan Avenue and well, what I'm doing there, I'm doing all fresh pastas. We're doing, you know, everything is scratch cooking. Everything is cooked to order. We don't chicken. We start, you know, the minute it's ordered, nothing's pre-cooked there. We have great steaks, chops, again, fresh fish every day there. Veal dishes are, you know, some of our specialty items. Chicken parm, I don't think you can beat anywhere in the city. As big and as nice as ours, to tell you the truth.
You're making me hungry. I haven't eaten in a couple hours, and I'm getting really hungry listening to this. It sounds amazing.
No, but Chef, let's listen to what we're talking with Chef Joe Farina. But that's it. Like, chicken parmesan is one of those things that everybody has some version of. Most of them are kind of okay. I think it's always okay, you know, no matter how you do it. But if you've got something that's really, really special, it is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and you'd really think our veal parm fills the whole plate. That's what we want it to do. Mm. Comes with a nice side of pasta. Even if you can get to the pasta, you know, that's you'd really be impressed by the chicken parm and all of our parms for that matter.
And also, too, here's another thing, and this is something, when done right, is the kind of thing that that is kind of sort of legendary, that people talk about all the time, is kind of those famous homemade meatballs. So is there like a secret that you can let out? Certainly you want to let people in on the fact that they should come out, visit you, and get them. But what is it for those people out there that makes up a great meatball?
Well, I use veal and beef in my meatballs. I don't use pork. I don't use, and I cook them all throughout the whole night. I don't cook up a batch of meatballs. We never use them the second day. So we're constantly cooking meatballs throughout the night. That's what I think sets us apart from everyone else. They stay fresh all day long, and pretty soon they're going to have them in grocery stores.
Wow. Also. Wow, I've had those before. I was just taking notes because they're so good. I would love be able to have those in my home.
See, sure. That's the key, Beth, you got to continually make them. You don't just make up a bunch and then serve them throughout the next day.
Never the next day. Yep.
No.
Okay. Well, and is there something about how you pack the meat together, too? Like, you have to be kind of careful with it, right?
Yeah, you have to treat it like, you know,
gently,
like a lady. I mean, it's just, you can't over mix it. You have to keep it, you know, loose, and it can't be tight on a meatball because it's just, it'll turn into a rubber ball instead of a meatball.
Yeah, they get really like too compact.
Or a super
then.
Ball, you know? Yeah.
Here's, and I wanted to get a little bit of insight too on this, and we talked with Chef John Hogan a little bit earlier in the program. When it comes to New Year's Eve, and you've got some great selections out there, some ways for people to celebrate in special ways with the champagne and the Dom Perignon and things like that. But as a guy who's been doing it for so long and so long right here, what is it about New Year's Eve that people should do, and what makes it special? How has it changed over the last 20 years or so here in Chicago?
You know, in my places, it's all about, you know, bringing your family and friends in, and you could come early, you could come late, you can, you know, start at 9 o'clock, you'd start at 10. I don't do, we don't do anything, you know, out of the ordinary, I should say, because we just want people to take what they want and do what they want, and we do some great specials, but otherwise we just keep it simple.
There's no, like, prefix,
You come into our place, you want to order off the menu, and then you only have a prefix, people are upset, so
right.
I just
yeah.
offer the whole menu.
I like that. I like that a lot. Just being able to come in and have, you know, your specials and or, you know, food off of your menu. I think that's
right.
Great.
Have a great dinner, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And plus, we talked about it too. It's great for people that come out there, maybe on that special occasion, they get out on New Year's Eve. You want them to have, you know, an accurate representation of what it is that they could enjoy on a regular basis there too. So here's the information for people to get involved, get out there, certainly enjoy it this week. Enjoy it on New Year's Eve. There's some special things going on that I think will, as far as the champagne, the toast, and some ways that you can kind of enjoy it with family and friends. And then, you know, after that, going into 2018 all year long. So 1416 South Michigan Avenue for VictoryTapChicago.com. Sure, it's got information on the selections there, some of the things, the hours, the locations, and ways to enjoy it. And then the brand new, and this one I'm excited to check out, this is only maybe a week or two old, Victory Meat and Seafood in Elmhurst. And that one is at 116 North York Street. That is right in the heart of Elmhurst. I love Elmhurst too, because it's one of those kind of suburbs where you can get to it from anywhere in about 20 minutes and get anywhere from there in that same amount of time. And victorymeatandseafood.com is the website for that. So, Joe, before we let you go, was there anything for Christmas afterwards?
Yeah, one more thing.
Okay,
go ahead. Watch out for us in 2018. We're going to be doing Victory Italian in River North.
Ah, wow.
Okay, so
that's great.
You're not stopping. Very busy. Hopefully you took a little bit of time yesterday and enjoyed Christmas. Is there anything you want to share that either you got for Christmas or that you gave or that you're thankful for on this day after?
I got a headache for Christmas.
I
spent a great day with family and friends, and everything was wonderful.
Oh my gosh,
that's great.
Everything was really nice.
Okay, well, you know what the cure for the headache is, of course, head out to Victory. All right,
exactly.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks so much for taking time out. Encourage everybody to get out there and see you.
Thank you both.
Congratulations.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Thanks again.
Happy New Year.
Chef Joe Farina, we are going to take a break, and we come back. You know, not everybody. We got some insight, though. Some insight into the techniques of the making of the meatball.
Be
very gentle with it and some of the ingredients.
If you've ever had Chef Joe Farina's meatballs here in Chicago, they are amazing. So to get even a little bit of insight from him as to how they're made, I was like taking notes.
And what not to do.
Delicious. What not to do.
Keep making them all night. Don't use them
gentle.
The next day.
Yep.
When we come back, Beth Peterson is going to have some of the ways that you can home gate here and some kind of cool things, right, to enjoy.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a Bloody Mary. They don't always transport that well. Sometimes
That's
they can
right.
be crazy.
I've got a little trick.
And a couple other selections as well. Quick break, and we'll be right back. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. Seven 20 WGN live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, John Williams Show. Dane in until 3, so a handful of minutes more to go for people to get ready, get their home gating on, enjoy Northern Illinois as they battle the Duke Blue Devils in what is really
go
the
Huskies.
First bowl that I've been kind of paying attention to. And, of course, we're all excited here as the home station, the flagship for the Northwestern Wildcats for the Music City Bowl. So we're learning some things about how to best enjoy, how to tailgate at home, how to home gate.
Yeah.
Before we went to the break, you had mentioned a little bit about the Bloody Mary. That's one of the signature drinks. I mentioned, you know, cracking the 30-pack of Natural Light, which I think you can get for a very reasonable price at Binny's.
You're right.
Or any place. But when it comes to like the things that where people can personalize it, they can kind of make that drink their own and make it awesome and legendary, the Bloody Mary is it, right?
The Bloody Mary is it. I mean, you know, a well-planned Bloody Mary bar at a tailgate is, it might be even just like required. I think it's a necessary thing. But sometimes, you know, it's tough to get all those ingredients out there. And it's
what
tough
are the
to
ingredients?
Get the setup.
Yeah, celery, and then, but you see some.
No.
Now, how do you feel about this, Beth? Because sometimes you'll see pictures where people are just piling on, no pun intended, when it comes, where they're sticking like full, you know, sub sandwiches on there. They're like hamburgers.
Absolutely. It's the Midwest thing to do. I mean, have you had a Bloody Mary in Wisconsin? I mean, they're like, you know, it's a thing. I mean, it's a big thing, you know, having all the accoutrements. It's fun. It adds to the
fun.
Like
a burrito stuffed on top.
You can totally do all that, or you can just like, you know, do kind of like your, you know, garden variety kind of salad in your Bloody Mary with all of the, you know, the pickles and the olives and the celery and the peppers and all that kind of stuff. But you can get, you know, fun. I mean, I've seen some that almost look like, you know, like a roasted chicken and like, right. I mean, they do get kind of crazy. But
Dan, do you enjoy a Bloody Mary now and then? And would you want one that had a roasted chicken on it? Depending on the size of the, maybe a small baby chicken.
I've seen some bloodies with some that have been loaded, never with a roasted chicken though.
That seems big.
Pizzas, whole pizzas, and
what?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. It's a thing.
How about a meatball?
Could do a meatball for sure. You could do sort of more of an Italian version on the old Bloody Mary.
From the 773, here's some suggestions. Here, and of course, Chef Joe, we're going to give a little insight into some of the reasons why his stuff is, his meatballs are legendary. Get natural ground beef, then shape it into balls. Put it in stainless steel container with spring water, medium high heat, and done in 15 minutes and no salt. Right. And then someone came in from the 815 saying Minnesota is also very proud of and defensive of the legacy of the Bloody Mary.
The Bloody Mary. It's big. It's important up here in the north. It's a northern thing for sure. And so I have taken the Bloody Mary and kind of taken it and put into a little more portable version and put a little spin on it and made it into, tell me what you think of this. It's a Bloody Mary Jello shot.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Well, my head just exploded. Violetta, you can do the cat noise.
It's beloved, I have to say. People really, really like it. It's fun presentation. It's in a cherry tomato, and it's really simple to do, just like making Jello. But it's spicy and savory. And
a Jello shot.
There's not actually Jello in it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, there is Jello.
It's like a Bloody Mary Jello shot. It's really a Jello shot.
What is the ratio that you have to? Because I'm guessing you've got to up the ratio of water and gelatin to the ratio of tomato
vodka.
Juice, right? And vodka,
well,
that'll make it hold together.
You've already mixed the vodka and the Bloody Mary, mixed it together, and then you're adding the gelatin to it and all your spices and things like that in there, and then you top it with a little bit of red pepper and put it in the fridge for a little bit, and you actually put them in hollowed out. Campari tomatoes. So they're super cute. So you slice the top off, and a lot of the Campari.
So they're small.
They're small.
Okay, they're not.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And a lot of the Camparis have, like, you know, the vines still a little bit attached to them. So the presentation on them is gorgeous.
Looks good.
You dip them in, before you fill them, you dip them in the in celery salt. So you have the rim of the, rimmed like a.
Of the little tomato guy.
The little
there.
Tomato with the celery salt. Pour in the mixture, put it in the fridge, let it set up, and put the little top on it and put them out on trays, and people love them.
That sounds pretty good.
It's fun.
And do you eat the whole tomato?
You can. You know, you can.
It's a tomato, after all.
It's a tomato, after all. You can. But, you know, a lot of times people will just kind of squeeze the...
Just the Jello.
Just the Jello out.
Yeah.
They want the vodka.
Yeah. Sounds easy if you're a guest. I don't know about putting it together.
It's not hard. It's really quick. It's just like making Jello, which is pretty easy.
Well, hopefully we'll find a way that you can kind of share that. Maybe put it up on your like Facebook or Instagram or something like that.
It will be in the Tailgate Cookbook.
It'll be in the Tailgate Cookbook, so wait for that, because that's still months away, right? That's got more than one just page
in it. August 2018, yeah. There's 275 pages of Tailgate goodness coming out in 2018.
So you're going to share one more tailgatey kind of tip for us before we go. But I got some pictures in from the 847, and thank you very much. Dedicated and devoted listener. Whoa. And this is kind of to the, I would, I would. would hope that this is the extreme end to which the Bloody Mary can go, because the food parts on top are about, like, I don't know, five times. One, there is an entire pepperoni pizza, a sub sandwich, a bunch of donuts, it looks like, some pickles, a green pepper, and it looks like about a pound of bacon. That's on one. The other one is a full...
There's donuts on that one?
I think those are donuts. Or maybe it could be a bear claw. I'm going to ask you something like that. And then we've got an entire... it looks like a hamburger or two hamburgers. Might be a breakfast sandwich. Could be an Egg McMuffin on there. And then one is, yes, a fried chicken.
Yeah.
With, looks like some stuffed, maybe some mushrooms or something. And then underneath that is, whoa, this is, I don't know how now, Beth.
These are Bloody Marys for Sharon. That's for sure.
How much does something like that, like, run, like, cost? Because it's, I mean, at a restaurant, and or these, I had no idea this.
These probably are tailgates.
Gotcha.
I don't know about the restaurant situation, but for sure, at tailgate, people will do this kind of thing. They try to outdo each other and come up with, like, you know, the most outrageous Bloody Mary ever.
Do you have one more little snack that you want to share on the home gate side? Something that's easy enough for people to do. You can give it some thought, and we can come back. Do we have a 58 break? Nope, we're going all the way to the top. So you've got a little bit of time to think about it.
Well, one of the things that I think is really easy, first of all, you know, I mentioned things that you can make from scratch, like, you know, doing the Bloody Mary shots, and but I really, really like to have store-bought things that are kind of put together in a cool way so that you don't have to spend a lot of time on prepping food, because I think you should have one signature thing that you do, a couple signature things that you do, and then kind of everything else sort of put together beautifully. And what I like to call the charcuterie. Get it? Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, everything's cute. That's
everything's
right.
Everything's so cute, yeah. Right? And what's on the charcuterie is... one of the things that I love to put on a charcuterie are, you know, sausages that are local sausages from the Chicago area. We have some great, butchers here, and there's one brand that I love in particular. It's called Big Fork, and he has a lot of great different flavors, and just kind of grill them up beforehand and slice them and put them on to the tray, and cheeses, I mean, anything.
See,
that
something
you
simple
do.
Is and it allows people to customize themselves with the right. cheeses and the meats and kind of get it together,
but then I do things that are a little bit different, like put some corn nuts on there, you know, some seasoned barbecue seasoned Fritos, and like maybe a cheese dip, you know, just kind of lay it all out, so it's easy for people to kind of dig into whichever thing that they're interested in.